నమస్తే నాథ భగవన్ శివాయ గురు రూపిణే విద్యావతార సంసిద్ధ్యై స్వీకృత అనేక విగ్రహాయ నమాయ నమః రూపాయ పరమహారదైక రూపిణే సర్వజ్ఞానదమోభేద భానవేచద్గణాయ తేజతంత్రాయ దయాకృతాయ విగ్రహాయ శివాత్మనే పరతంత్రాయ భక్తానాం భవ్యానాం భవ్యరూపిణే వివేకినాం వివేకాయ విమర్శాయ విమర్శినాం ప్రకాశినాం ప్రకాశాయ జ్ఞానినాం జ్ఞానరూపిణే పురస్తాత్పార్శ్వపృష్టే నమస్కృత్యాన ఉపరీత సదాముచ్యత రూపేణ విదేహి భవదాసనమిత్యం పంచమ శ్లోకే సువీతయతమానస ప్రాత ప్రభో సమయే జపాచు దివసం భవేత్ శివాది గురుభ్యో నమః. ఓకే, సో వీ హ్యావ్ బీన్ లుకింగ్ ఇన్ టు ది గుణ మేనిఫెస్టేషన్ ఆఫ్ విమర్శ బిందు. In the last three sessions, we saw how the Vimarsha Bindu is visualized in the form of Adi Mahalakshmi, and from that the tamasic aspect is visualized as Mahamaya, the sattvic aspect as Mahavidya. Mahamaya further manifested into Dashanana, Dashabhuja, Mahakali, and Mahavidya as Ashtabhuja Mahasaraswati. We have seen the Dhyana Slokas and the iconography and its representations. We also went into the tattvic aspects of their weapons and the form in general as well. Now, Adi Mahalakshmi herself manifested into Ashtadashabhuja Mahalakshmi. This is not just the Rajogunatmika, but Trigunatmika. Let us look at her Dhyana Sloka and the Tattva representation today. Okay. Her Dhyana Sloka, as you all know, is Akchasrak Parashum Gadeshu Kulisham Padmam Dhanushkundikam దండం శక్తిమసిం చర్మజలజం ఘంటాం సురాభాజనం శూలం పాశ సుదర్శనే చ దదతీం హస్తై ప్రసన్నాననాం సేవే సైర్భమర్దిని మిహ మహాలక్ష్మీం సరోజస్థితాం. సో ది మీనింగ్ ఆఫ్ దిస్, ది ఫస్ట్ త్రీ లైన్స్ బేసికలీ టాక్స్ అబౌట్ ది 18 వెపన్స్ షీ ఈస్ హోల్డింగ్ ఇన్ హర్ హ్యాండ్స్. Okay, and the last line is Seve Sairibhamardini Miha Mahalakshmim Sarojasthitam. Sarojasthitam, she is seated on a lotus. So this Mahalakshmi, who I pray to her, Seve, who is she? Sairibhamardini. Sairibha means buffalo, Mahisha. So Sairibhamardini means Mahishasura Mardini. Okay, so the first two or three lines, she is having Akshasrak, meaning Aksha means Matrikacharam. Asrak means mala, garland. So, Matrikakshara mala. Then Parashum, which is the axe. So, we know Parashurama, right? So, the one who carries the axe around. So, the Parashu is axe. And then Gada, we all know. Gada, mace. Ishu is the arrow. Kulisham is Vajram, Vajrayadam. Padmam, again, lotus. Dhanu is bow. Kundika means, it's the Kamandalam. Kamandalam is called Kundika. Dandam, then Dandam is the stick. And Shakti, Shakti is Shakti Ayudam. Okay, it's like the veil, but it is not really veil. It's Shakti Ayudam. Asim, Asim is sword. Charma, Charma is, it's like a shield. Okay, Ketakam. Jalajam means, that is formed out of Jalam, which is Shank. Ghantam is bell. Surabhajanam is amrutapatram, panapatram. Then shulam, just shulam. Pasham, we all know, it's a noose. Sudarshanecha tadatim. Sudarshanam is a chakram. So all those 18. Hastaihi prasannananam, smiley face. Then seve sairibhamardini mihamaha lakshmim sarojasthita. So that's the meaning of the Dhyana Slokam. Very simple. Three lines about the weapons and one line about worshipping her. There's also another Dhyana Slokam. Ashta Dasabhuja Pujya Sa Sahasra Bhuja Sati Ayudhan Yatra Vakshyante Dakshinada Karakramat. So from the right side, from below, let me go in the order. Akshamala Chakamalam Bana Asi Kulisham Gada Chakram Trishulam Parasuhu Shankho Ganta Chapachakaha Shaktihi Danda Charma Chapam Panapatram Kamandaluhu Alankrita అలంకృత భావేభిర్ ఆయుధేహి కమలాసనాం సర్వదేవమయీమీషాం మహాలక్ష్మీ ఇమాం నృప పూజయేత్ సర్వలోకానాం సదేవానాం ప్రభుర్భవేత్. సో దిస్ ఇస్ అ బ్యూటిఫుల్ జ్ఞాన శ్లోకం. ఇట్ ఆల్సో కమ్స్ ఇన్ ది రహస్యం అండ్ ఇట్ లిస్ట్ ది సేమ్ ఆయుధమ్స్ ఇన్ డిఫరెంట్ ఆర్డర్స్. So yeah, let's not worry about the order. Same items. And we'll go in detail. Okay. First and foremost, so the first line of this Dhyana Sokam says, Ashta Dasabhuja Pujya Sa Sahasra Bhuja Sati. So remember that. Okay. So we have to understand that Mahalakshmi represents not just the Rajogunam here, but all the three gunas. So she is a Trigunatmika. Why not just the Rajogunam? When you have for Sattagunam, when you have for Tamsagunam, why not just for Rajogunam? We saw in the last session that Tamoguna is basically inaction and Sattaguna is cognition, which is consciousness or intelligence. Rajoguna is primarily action. So for an action to happen, it needs a base to play upon. So it has to mix with either the Tamo aspect or the Sattva aspect or both. This is the reason why the representation is Trigunatmika. Before we jump into understanding the reason behind the 18 hands and the weapons, etc., we need to understand what this Devata represents. She is none other than the Adi Mahalakshmi herself. This Vimarsha Bindu, with the intent to create, has allowed the Sattva aspect Mahavidya and the Tamo aspect Mahamaya to further expand into Mahasaraswati and Mahakali. However, Adi Mahalakshmi herself expanded further into Ashtadasabhuja Mahalakshmi. This aspect did not dilute at all. She did not limit herself and retained the entirety of herself and manifested. So all the gunas are present in her. She is the Srishti Shakti, Sthiti Shakti, Samhara Shakti, Tirodhana Shakti, Anugraha Shakti, all in one. She is none other than the Brahma Vastu, the Bindu Rupini. In fact, the Dhyana Sloka actually claims that she is Sahasrabhuja, meaning 1,000 hands. Tantra Shastras, when they generally claim such large numbers, thousands or lakhs or 10,000s, whatever, or koti, it means basically infinite. So it basically says infinite hands representing the sheer infinite radiance or rays. But for the sake of us mortals, she has limited it to just 18 hands so that it is possible for us to contemplate and bring it to our imagination at least. So when we looked at Mahakali, we were looking at hands, legs, faces, weapons from the perspective of Srishti. When we looked at Mahasaraswati, we looked at intelligence, consciousness, and moksha. But we cannot limit our perceptions in the case of Mahalakshmi. She is everything. So the question may arise, if she is everything, then why would we need the other two Shaktis? We really don't. This one Ashtadasabhuja Mahalakshmi is enough. She is a combined form of the other two also. But for those who are interested in understanding the manifestation in detail, those who are curious to know the guna manifestation, for them, it is important to have the other two Shaktis. Mahalakshmi here represents the fact that the guna manifestation is impossible with just the tamo and sattva aspect acting alone. For that to get into a gross form, it has to mix with rajoguna also. But rajoguna cannot exist by itself as it needs the tamo or the sattva aspect to act upon. So to represent this, Adi Mahalakshmi expanded into Ashtadasabhuja Mahalakshmi, maintaining her Trigunatmika state. The Devi Mahatmyam Madhyama Charitam talks about the Avirbhutam of this Ashtadasabhuja Mahalakshmi, while it describes how the Tejas from each of the Devatas got combined together into one and then became this Mahalakshmi. We would like to see it from the other way. Okay. It should be assumed that when the Devas were defeated by Mahishasura and were unable to perform any task, Mahalakshmi took away all the Shaktis that she had originally granted to these Devas and then took up the responsibility of defeating Mahishasura herself. How do we know that Devas were unable to perform the task? It also comes in the second chapter only, that Mahishasura himself started performing the task of Devas. Suryendra Agni Lendunam Yamasya Varunasya Cha Anyesham Chadikaranya Swayamevadi Tishtati. So Surya, Indra, Agni, Indu, Yama, Varunasya, Anyesham Chadi Adhikaramsa Swayamevadi Tishtati. So this guy took care of all those things, all the actions of Surya, Indra, Agni, Chandra, Yama, Varuna, and all the other Devas also. And he started doing those actions also himself. So if we closely look into the description, we will know that from this is all coming in the second chapter of Devi Mahatmyam I'm talking about. So from her face came Rudra, from her hair came Yama, shoulders came Vishnu, Chandra came from Stanas, middle portion, from her middle portion came Indra, From her ankles came Varuna. From her back came the earth. From the feet came Brahma. From the toes came sun. From fingers came Ashtavasus. From the nose came Kubera. From the teeth came Prajapati. From the eyes came Agni. From the eyebrows came Sandhya. From the ears came Vayu. And when talking about the weapons, she gave Shulayudham to Shiva, Chakrayudham to Vishnu, Pasham and Shankam to Varuna, Shakti to Agni, Danu and Arrow to Vayu, Vajra to Indra, Ganta to Airavatam, Danda to Yama, Akshamala and Kamalam to Prajapati, Kamandalu to Brahma, Khadgam and Charmam to Kalam, and Panapatram to Kubera, the lion to Himavan. So all these things are there in Devi Mahatmyam chapter 2 in the opposite way. Meaning, it will say that when she did the Avirbhutam, Shiva gave the Shulam to her, Vishnu gave the Chakram to her. So you have to think that she took it all back. Whatever she gave to them, she took it all back. So at the same time of Samharam, she just took all of these from the Devatas and took charge of herself. With that understanding, let's now look into the Mahalakshmi. Why 18 hands? There are so many ways to peel the onions as usual. I'm going to talk about 6 different ways of peeling these onions, okay? Pancha Karmendriyam plus Pancha Jnanendriyam, because we are talking about all actions here, right? So Pancha Karmendriyam, Pancha Jnanendriyam, Pancha Tanmatram plus Mano Buddhi Ahankaram. 18? So that's 18 hands. Second, Pancha Bhuta mixture. Okay, we'll talk about this Panchikarnam concept in the next session. Okay, so assume the Pancha Bhutam is responsible for all these things, the Panchikarnam aspect of it. That mixture, so you have the 5 plus 4 plus 3 plus 2 plus 1. So 5 Bhutas, and then with the all different mixtures, you get 15. And then the 3 Antakaranas, Manobuddhi Ahankara, that is also 18. Then, when you are looking into the Mayikamalam aspect, Maya, Kala, Avidya, Raha, Kala, Niyati. Okay, so that's 6. Ignore the Purusha for this, for the moment. Okay, so the 6. And since we are looking into the Guna aspect of this manifestation, all these 3, 6 acting upon the 3 Gunas comes to 18. So that's the another 18 number. Then we look at the Pancha Karmendriyam, Pancha Jnanendriyam, Pancha Tanmatra, Antakarnam as just 1. Then you have Purusha and Prakriti as another 2. That is 18 again. Then we can also look into the, she is a wholesome representation of Mahakali and Mahasaraswati together. So Mahakali has 10 hands, Mahasaraswati has 88 hands, put together 18 hands. That's another representation. Finally, she faces 18 asuras during the Mahishasura Vadam. Each asura represents a type of Rajogunam and she kills them all. Okay, so I'll list the names and then you will, since you all know Devi Mahatmyam, you can immediately recognize these names. Chikshura, Chamara, Udagra, Udhata, Karala, Mahahanu, Asiloma, Bashkala, Parivarikta, Bidala, Thamran, Andakan, Ugrasya, Ugravirya, Durdara, Durmuka, then Mahishan himself, and then as a Purusha form of Mahishan himself. So that is 18. So we'll talk about these asuras and what they represent from a Rajoguna perspective, etc., if and when we look into the Devi Mahatmyam in detail. For now, just know that these are all the different aspects of those 18 hands form, different way of peeling the onion. Okay? We'll now look into those weapons in detail. While there are, again, numerous ways of looking into this weapon, I'm going to explain only one perspective. These weapons basically are tools, right? So I'm going to explain this from a technique perspective. Each weapon is typically an instrument, a tool to get rid of the asuric forces that we face in our day-to-day life. So we'll look at what techniques we need to employ to get rid of these day-to-day asuras and reach the Atmanabhuti state. Ready? Okay. So first, Akshamala, Sabda Brahman, Vimarsham, Parapashyanti Madhima Vaikari. Expansion is represented here. The need for Akshamala for evolution, both in the materialistic world and to escape out of the same, is represented here. The beauty here is she does not have a Spatikamala or a Rudrakshamala or some Manimala. She has the Akshamala. This indicates the technique of performing the japas using the Matrika Akshara Samputikaranam. The power of this is beyond explanation. Only those who practice this on a daily basis will understand the potency of this technique. So I have talked about it numerous times and cannot stress the power of this technique more. Just do your main mantra japam 108 times using this technique every day and see how it transforms your sadhana multifold. It has a direct link with the Sabda Brahman and can easily take you to the state of para, the seed state, quickly. It has that samarthyam. So Akshamala represents that technique. Kamalam. Kamalam represents so many things born out of dirt within water, has to live in water, but raises above it and blossoms. So it can continue to live there physically, but it is not impacted by it. It is not touched by it. Represents the Sushumna Nadi, which connects the lower chakras to the Sahasrara. The technique is to use Kumbhakam to kindle the prana to go through the Sushumna Nadi to reach the Sahasrara chakra. So Kumbhakam is the technique that is represented by Kamalam. Bana, the focus on mind, the focus of the mind is represented here. The one-pointed targeted focus would greatly improve the sadhana experience. Pratyaharam is the technique represented here. There are several types of pratyaharam in the Yoga Sastram. I have talked about this in earlier lectures. For the completion purposes of this lecture, I will mention a few of the pratyahara techniques. One, stula pratyaharam. You can set your focus on a small idol and keep your focus on it without even moving your sight out of it. You are introduced to this technique during Chaturavarti Tarpanam, where you keep on the focus on your small Ganapati Vigraham and not remove your focus from that. While there are mantras reciting along, the focus on that is the key. This is why the experience of Chaturavarti after you memorize the mantras is way different from doing it while looking at the book and then doing the Tarpanam. The reason why most of you enjoy Chaturavarti Tarpana is because of the Pratyahara technique, and you feel that your mind has not wandered for a long period of time and you have been in control. So that is Thula Pratyahara. Then comes Bindu Pratyaharam. You can set your focus on a dot. The size can change based on your sadhana experience. You can start from a larger dot and then slowly reduce the size to a point. The concept is the same. Next one, Agni Pratyaharam. Here you start to focus on the sandhi of the Vik and the Agni, the core dark red in color. The concept is the same. In the past two techniques, you are moving from one state to another. Stula wins over the Prithvi Bhutam, Bindu wins over the Salila Bhutam, Agni wins over the Agni Bhutam. This works well when there is no wind in the room and you lit the lamp and focus on the intersection. People use candle, but it is not a good practice because candle melts and the position will change. So you tend to lose the focus there. The lamp is the best option and should be in a dark, windless room so that you can emulate the still nature of Brahman as close as possible. The next thing will be to bring a little wind and focus on the stillness within the jyoti, stillness in the wave. This will bring the command over Vayu Bhutam. Next is the Arka Pratyaharam. This is supposed to be the most potent and powerful Pratyaharam. However, this is not to be tried without mastering the other Pratyaharams. The focus is kept on the setting sun. The best place is the Samudra banks and watch the setting sun without even winking the eyes. This will bring the command over the Akasha Bhutam. So those who have done it very well, you can feel that you have become one with the Surya, the sun itself. You will feel the radiance of sun on yourself, those who have done the proper Pratyaharam like this. Okay, so that's all about Bana. Next item is Asi, which is the sword. We have already talked about this when we looked at Mahamaya. This sword represents the Viveka Shakti, the ability to discriminate and cut off the real from unreal. You may question, how can you have something called unreal? Unreal does not really exist. If you cut a pumpkin, it splits into two, but both parts exist. But if you cut any Vishayam using Viveka sword, it splits into two, the real and unreal, but the unreal truly does not exist. The samadhanam to this is the unreal was superimposed on the real, and this vivekam is to cut the superimposition so that the real can be seen cutting off the non-existent unreal. The famous example is removing the snake from the rope. Snake was unreal and non-existent, but unless you use the viveka sword, the superimposition would not be gone. It would exist and has to be cut off. So if you look at these, theory here, if you look at these Bengali Kali representations, you will see a sword with eyes and also dripping blood. and also cut head with a dripping blood in a Kali representation. They do puja to the sword itself. Tantra Sastra in fact talks about Khadga Siddhi itself as a method. There are mantra sadhanas for Khadga Siddhi. I'm not talking about Khadgamala here. Tantras claim that once you get the Khadga Siddhi, then it is easy for you to win over the Vikshepa Sakti. The cut head here would represent the temporary nature, the unreal. The dripping blood from both the sword and the head represents the continuous process, constant contemplation of Nitya Nitya Vastu. So that's the sword representation. Next is the Kulisham, Vajram. Vajram is the Kundalini Sakti itself. The usage of Sushumna Nadi to raise the Kundalini Sakti, to raise your awareness, is represented here. Since I've already talked about this in the previous session, I'm not going to go into details. Now, Gada, Mace, this is the Dharmam. Again, I have talked about this during Adi Mahalakshmi itself. Performing Swadharma Anushtanam, Danam, Yatras, etc. represented here. There is a proverb, Dharmam Talekakum, right? So Dharma, if you're doing properly, it will take care of you from wavering from the path and stuff like that. So Dharma Rakshati Rakshitaha. Chakram. This is the technique to cut through the samsara cycle. There are several meanings to this. One is the Sudarshana Mantra Siddhi as a method. Second is the chakras within the body and to perform chakra vedanas using Raja Yoga technique. Third is the Karma Yoga as means to reach the bindu in the middle. Okay. I have found the usage of circles in the sadhana to greatly help in attaining siddhis. I have taught you all also during the Chaturavarti Tarpanam and also during Chandi Mantra Japam on how to go around the Ganapati hands and use the Shatkona and Agnya to go around to finally get sucked into the center out of the current dimension. When you're doing Chandi Mantra Japam, I talked about that, right? Focusing on I am reinclined, Chamunda, Yei Viche. So going round and round when you're doing the Mantra Japam. So these are circular techniques that has worked for me and I've talked to you all about it. So those are techniques represented by Chakram. Trishulam. Triputi Tattvam is represented here. And the Sadavidya Anusamhatihi. So that is the technique here. How aham bhojanam naiva bhojyam na bhokta chitananda rupa shivoham shivoham. This constant contemplation. I am neither the subject nor the object or the action. If I am not any of these, what am I? Am I all of these then? Jnana margyam, nyayim havihi, nyata hota, nyatra jnana nyayanam, abheda bhavanam, sri chakra pujanam. This abheda bhavanam is what is represented by Trishulam. During the Mokshadwaram lecture, I had talked about a technique on how to bring this contemplation to practice. For completion purposes, I'm going to give the technique again in brief. The indriyas are the only way for us to receive the vishyams from the external world. There is no other way for us to get the details. If these indriyas don't function, you won't have a way to process anything. The bahya vastus, the jagat, would basically not exist for you, isn't it? If you cannot see, hear, touch, taste, or smell, would you have any other way to realize that something else apart from you exist? So these indriyas are the only reason for the jagat to exist for you. But these indriyas have the capacity to only do something outside and also do only one thing. The chakshu indriya can only see. The sotra indriya can only hear. The thwak indriya can only feel the touch. The jihva indriya can only taste. The grana indriya can only smell. The nose cannot see, right? The other, they cannot do something else. They can only do one. Now, if you see a beautiful vigraham in the temple, you see the alankaram and you're feeling so blissed. You close your eyes and you see the same alankaram within. At this point, did the devata come within you? Can you separate that from who you are? No, right? So if you apply the same concept in a generic sense, everything that you see can become you, can become one within you. I know this might appear to be a stretch, but if you do this contemplation seriously, you will realize that everything that you see is inseparable from you. Similarly, let's say that you applied some beauty cream on your face. Before you applied, that's different. But the moment you applied, can you separate the cream from you? You and that cream has become one, right? So anything that can be applied on you can actually become you. Similarly, the food you eat. Before you eat, it's separate. The moment you eat, it cannot be separated. You you can apply the same concept for all the things that you see, you hear, you smell, you feel, and you taste. It means that everything in this universe can be realized as part of you only. You can, by sheer concentration and contemplation, become this whole universe itself. This is the manifestation technique. Avyaktam to Vyaktam. Anvyaktam to Avyaktam. In this state, you are none other than the Vimarsa Shakti itself, isn't it? This Jnatra Jnana Jnanam Abheda Bhavanam is what is expected at the Sarvanandamaya Chakram. This oneness with the Bija Vimarsa Shakti, this Ashadasha Bhuja Mahalakshmi, this technique is represented by the Trishulam. Next, Parashu, the axe. Now, what is the difference between an axe and a sword? We use the axe to typically cut the wood. The wood is the representation of the Jadatattva. So, Tamsagunam, cutting of the Tamsagunam is represented by the axe. Fine. What is the technique? Cutting the Jata. What is the wood like? Inert behavior. This is caused by sleep and food. So, cutting down the sleep and food is the technique represented by the axe. There are two techniques to do that. One is Bala Adipala Mantram. This was given by Vishwamitra to Rama and Lakshmana when they were guarding his penance, his tapas. This helped them to be alert always and win over the Tamogunas. This mantra helped them to win over Thataka. Okay, so then that is one technique with the mantra japam. Next one is resolving to only sattvic food. It's another way to control the Tamogunas, positive pranic foods, and getting rid of all the roots from the diet or ki. So that is Parashu. That's a technique. Shankam, this is the Shabda Brahman, Pranavanadam. The technique here is mantras, Vedas, anything that is heard in practice, mantra japas and Veda Parayanas, Upanyasam, etc. And I've talked about this also in the previous lecture, so I'm going to skip the details. Ghanta. Ghantanadam represents inviting positive energy and driving away negative forces. The technique here is satsangam. We have seen in many temples, in fact, other religions also, the ringing of the bell is to indicate the start of a prayer session or something positive. Even in our puja padati, after the Bhairava Mandala puja, we do Ghantanadam and then enter the puja graham. In all normal pujas also, Ghanta puja and Ghantanadam are the initial steps. So the technique here is satsangam. Adi Shankara celebrates this technique in his Bhajagovindam. Satsangatve nitsangatvam. Nisangatve nirmohatvam, nirmohatve nischalatattvam, nischalatattve jivan muktihi. The same concept is also explained by Avyar as well. Iniyadu ketkin, taniyadu veloi, inidu inidu, ekantham inidu. Adaninum inidu, adiyai thozhudal, adaninum inidu, arivinar serudal. That is satsangam. Adaninum inidu, arivullare, kanavinum, nalavinum, kanbadu thane. So why is this an important technique? Satsangam is important to sustain the motivation to continue your spiritual path. This is the reason why religions like Islam and Christianity are able to have a hold onto their followers. A constant meeting of like-minded folks, guiding the folks in their search for the unknown and clearing doubts along the way are key. They provide the sense of community, belonging, togetherness, etc. There are numerous elements in this material world that would force us to quit the path and get back to the samsara sagaram, because that is the nature of maya. That's how it's working. But with satsangam comes nitsangam, non-attachment from the material world. This does not mean that you don't live here. It only means that you continue to live like that of the lotus within the water, but you are not impacted by the sukha and dukkhas that are caused by the material world. That nitsangatvam. Once you get to that quality, what happens? Nirmohatvam. When there is no attachment to the material things, obviously it will lead you to the state of no wants. You would feel content always. Your needs are automatically taken care of. You reach a state of acceptance of what you are and what you have. This will lead to the state of nischalatattvam, freedom of all delusions, which will lead to the state of jivan mukta. So all these are documented by the great Shankara. Started where? Ghanta technique, satsangam. Okay. Next, pasam, the noose. I can talk for hours on this pasam. I have talked about this in detail during the Ashwarudha session of Lalitopakhyana. So please refer to that for further details. The technique here is the attachment towards the goal. The pasam will remove the materialistic attachments and allow you to have the attachment to her, the Brahman. Basically, mumukshutvam is the technique established. Next item is Shakti item, the spear. There is a misunderstanding that this is the normal veil item that is in the hands of Dr. Kartikeya. Shakti item is found in the hands of Murga in Sikkal when Parvati gave him to the Shakti item. Prior to the Surabhadma Yuddham, this shape is different from the veil. What does it signify? Well, the name itself is Shakti. It came from Shakti herself. In the case of Kumaraswami, In our context, it is the energy. What kind of energy? In different concepts, context, we will have different meanings. But I will now list the few meanings of this Shakti item in our context. One, it represents the learning, the sharpness in the attitude, the ability to learn, to be broad in your learning, and also to go in depth in the approach to learning. So that's where sharpness and then expands and then goes deeper. So the Shakti item is also found in the So this is what you will have: the ability to pierce to the ajnana, reach the goal of jnana. Knowledge at the surface level or limited knowledge would not have the shakti or the power to pierce the ajnana. So that learning is what is represented by the Shakti item. Second, it represents victory of good over evil. Remember, this weapon was given to Agni also by Ashtadoshi by Mahalakshmi, and Agni, she took it back from Agni. So this item came from Agni. So this is why Rigveda also represents Kumara as Agni only. He also came from Agni of Mahadeva. Agni uses the power to consume everything which is needed for the destruction of Ajnana. So victory of Ajnana, which is Jnana. Next, it represents Jnana itself, the wave portion of the Ayuda. So if you see the Shakti item, it will be wave portion in the middle. It represents the wavery state of Jiva, the confused state. The sharp end of the weapon represents the one-pointed approach and the commitment to the goal. By having that one-pointed goal and sankalpa, the doubts are removed and a steady state of jnana will result. This is represented by the jnana shakti. So next time when you hear the jay gosham of shakti veil, vetri veil, veera veil, jnana veil, you should know what the meaning is. So what is the technique here? The technique here is sankalpam, commitment. This is the only way to pierce the doubts and wavery aspects of the material world and reach the steady state of jnana. Dandam. This is a stick. This is the weapon given to Dharmadeva, Yamadharma Raja. We saw how the mace gada represented dharma. The stick represents the punishment to those who do not follow the dharma. But what is the technique here? There are two different approaches given in the Tantra Shastram. You have a sankalpa, commitment towards your goal, target, and go in that path. You also have proper satsanga and follow the guru and his vakyams. In this material world, there will be times where you will meet influencers who will work towards making you move away from your goal on the path. They will entice you with many things. If you succumb to it, then you would be the loser and the recovery would take more than double the time than what it took you originally. So you have to use a danda technique here and without any second thought, cut the relationship with such influencers. You try this approach with any strong Islamic followers or Christian followers, you would know that within days you will be blocked. You will be unfriended from Facebook. Even if you have been the closest to them, that's what will result. This is the commitment they have towards that path and this is needed. But we don't have such strong commitments. And with loosely liberal ideas, we tend to let those distractions influence us. And finally, we'll fall behind. So the technique given in the Tantra Shastra is, don't encourage non-believers. Those who talk ill about your Upasya Devata, Guru Mandalams, etc. Don't discuss any of these, any of what you do with others. Don't try to convert others to what you do. This is also important. This is one of the key Parashurama Kalpa Sutram. Sarva Darshana Aninda. Don't say anything bad about other darshanas. What you follow is your business. And what others follow is their business. Don't try to influence others. And similarly, don't let others to influence you as well. Such influences would happen only if you share on what you do and boast to your knowledge and learnings. Such actions will only invite discussions and arguments and then lead to distractions. You don't need to be missionaries, but if you feel that you are being pulled out, then cut off the relationship. This is the danda technique. These things I'm not saying out of my own my words, right? These are there documented in Tantra Shastrams. Second is this is a punishment to yourself. You don't need an external person all the time to distract you. 90% of the time, distractions would happen only through your own mind and actions. So the only actions in such cases is dandam. Shastram has several prayachittas as form of dandam only. This fear of punishment is needed an element to not let the mind influence you to stray away. Okay, so that is dandam. Next is charmam, which is shield. We talked about this on the Panapatram during the Adi Mahalakshmi session, so I'm not going to dwell into this further. The basic technique here is vairagyam. That power of vairagyam to shield us from the unwanted pulls and attractions that are constantly thrown at us. That vairagya buddhi, that chintana, that makes us walk the path without any wavering mind, that chit is represented by the shield, charma or ketayam. Next one is chapam, bow. The bow is used along with the arrow. what is the technique here? We know the arrow is the mind. We talked about it already. We saw the banam, right? So what would the bow be? The bow? The bowstring is pulled to release the mind towards its target. So what technique would this be? Pulling the indriyas inward so that the mind can be focused. See the connection here? So now how do we pull the indriyas inward? We know that these indriyas are capable of collecting everything external, but what do we mean by pulling inward? The first step is to stop involving much into the external stuff. The indriyas will collect. They cannot be stopped. But if the mind doesn't give importance to the data that is collected, it would lose interest. We ourselves would have witnessed multiple times that when we would be staring at something, the eyes would appear to be watching something, but the person would not even be there physically, be there mentally, as the mind would have involved in something else. So even if the chakshu indriya is collecting the external data, the mind would not be processing it as it has zero interest in it. This is one example. I know you all practice this with the hearing, Srotra Indriya, during the Varivasharakasim sessions. You were present, the Srotra Indriya was hearing, but the mind had zero interest in processing, isn't it? So how is this possible? The mind has to hold on to something that is of interest so that it can completely wipe out the data it gets from the Panchendriyams. This is the first step. As you can see, the first step itself is not easy. It would mean that you have to identify what can interest your mind. The danger here is the interest of the mind should not pull you back to the five senses again. So you have to train your mind to get the interest in your sadhanas, your devata, etc., and then make it hold on to that and then stop the data from the senses from impacting it. What is the second step? This is where the inward pull will come into the picture. We know that we can hear the heartbeat if we shut down our external hearing. We can see the colors if we shut down your external seeing. So we know that we can start experiencing the insights when we shut the external. What happens when this beautiful thing is established? That should be experienced. Next, Panapatram, Amrita Patram. This is covered in the Adi Mahalakshmi session also. This represents Anandam, not the day-to-day temporary happiness. Since Amritam is everlasting, only because of drinking Amritam, Devas got Chiranjivitvam. So this is the Nityanandam that we are talking about. So what is Nityanandam? Moksham, Brahma Ikyatvam, Atmanubhuti. So if that is the state represented, what is the technique to reach that state? First step, knowing such a state exists. This understanding is the technique. If we don't know Mount Kailash exists, how will you then plan towards a pilgrimage to that place? Only if you know that such a possibility exists, then you can decide for it. So even before all the Vivekam, Vairagyam, Samadhi, Shatkam, Mukshatvam, etc., first we have to strongly believe that such a state exists. Then we can work towards getting there. This existence of such a state is represented by the Panapatram. Once you believe in it, then there is hope that you will work towards that. Remember, the stone in the Garbhagraham became God only because of your belief. Because several people believe that there is God in the stone, that stone became God. Without your belief, it is simply a stone. So belief is not a simple thing to ignore. It is a very, very important technique. It has the power to make God. Okay. Next one. Last one is the Kamandalam. What does this represent? This, if you see the picture and the shape of Kamandalu, it has a stout, big, fat body. But the mouth is tiny. Okay, what technique does this indicate? You may be a body of big knowledge, or you may have a body of huge junk. Doesn't matter. But the best thing is, in both cases, just to shut your mouth. Maunam is the technique. You may be a store of knowledge, but share and talk only when needed and only to those who deserve. The more evolved the soul is, the less talkative they are. They will talk only a few words and can convey a book just with those few words. Remember, you have been blessed to be in this spiritual path, in this Janma. You have all the ingredients needed to walk the path and attain mukti in this Janma. You don't know if you'll get such a conducive life again. So why waste this opportunity by talking away? Time is running out and you have sadhanas to perform. The sun will come and go every day. The day-to-day responsibilities will come and go as usual. What else could be more important than the purpose of your Janma itself? We give it the lowest priority and postpone it as if it is a social security benefit. The more you contemplate on the Vidya, the more silent you would become. The more sadhanas you do, the less time you would have for social chit-chatting and talking your life away. So, summa iru sollara. Just be, stop talking. this will lead to the anubhuti. This is the technique you're talking about. This is the technique Murugan gave Arunagirinathar. So in his Kandan Anubhuti, he says, Semman Magalai, Thirudum Thirudan, Pemman Murugan Piravan Iravan, Summa Ire, Solara, Endalume, Amma Porulundum, Arindilane. Tusa Manium, Tugilum Punaival, Nesa Muruga, Ninadu Anbu Arulal, Asa Negalum, Tugala Yenapin, Pesa Anubhuti Pirandaduve. This is the same technique Ashtadasabhuja Mahalakshmi also conveys through her Kamandalam. Now you may question, Guru, isn't being quite the same as tamoguna that you are trying to conquer? I would like to quote an example in the life of Sri Ramana Maharishi. One person supposed to be a disciple of Gandhiji. This is only hearsay, okay? So don't hold me to this. So he came to Ramana's ashram, and upon entering, he saw the stillness and the entire ashram being just still, quiet, not a soul talking. Everyone just in maunam. He came to Ramana Maharishi and asked, instead of being quiet like this and having inactivity everywhere, wouldn't it be better to divert this energy to social causes for betterment of society, blah, blah, blah. So Swamiji simply smiled and said, who said I'm sitting, simply sitting here? And he continued his meditative state. Guru Brahma, Guru Vishnu, Guru Devo Maheshwara, Guru Sakshat Parabrahma, Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Okay.
Namaskar, Guruji.